D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, David Janes, Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow is with us as he is every Wednesday at 5 o'clock. Hi, Hutton. How are you?
I'm doing well, preparing for Snowmageddon here in the Gulch.
So you're not at Costco?
No, everyone else is, though, apparently.
We did get a call from someone at Costco earlier in the show, so...
No, that's a great idea, is to have managers check in with you on what's available. real quick, it's odd to me that the meteorologists, as of last night, would not give, like, a projection of snowfall. You know, there's a seven-day forecast. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I've just noticed that this go-around, it's not like, here's what we're expecting. It's they waited on the weather alert, which is fine. But, you know, normally it's Snowmageddon, and it turns into a dusting. I think this is going to be
it's going to be a dusting.
Quite the sledding that will happen over the weekend.
I am not looking forward to it. But Hutton, since we haven't had you on since the Titans hired Robert Saleh, let's just start with your thoughts on the Titans hiring Robert Saleh.
You know, I'm trying not to go overboard with the hire or undersell this either. I do have thoughts on all this. Like Borgonzi had his options. Okay, like let's start with Robert Saleh, who they've hired. He's not Mike Vrabel, but he is the closest coach to Mike Vrabel. Like, you know, it's the opposite of what they just had. Yes. But I think it's very important to note, and I don't think it's a small factor, that they just hired a coach that if you did not play for Mike Vrabel here, it's going to be jarring when you get back to OTAs. It's going to be the opposite. Like, Denard Wilson was the one that would, like, chew your ass out after at a team meeting. Jeffrey Simmons is saying that on Bussin' with the Boys. It wasn't Callahan. You know, but it was always Vrabel. Like, it's going to be stepped up a notch. Simmons said it was weird that just playing okay was okay. That was not the standard. And I think for sure, and I know for certain they've hired a coach that will not let that happen. So I think that's important, and that's what was needed. This wasn't a Matt Nagy hire, but I've really gone back and forth on the Amy Adams Strunk and ownership playing a role in this, because Amy Adams Strunk empowered Borgonzi. Then all of a sudden she wants Saleh. Here's why I'm going back and forth on it. Borgonzi is the person who made him a finalist to begin with. He put him in front of Amy Adams Strunk. She wasn't clamoring for Jason Garrett or any of these, Steve Spagnuolo or you know, Mike Kafka. You know, it was Borgonzi who had been working this job for months, like since Halloween. And it didn't just start after a random 49ers loss in the playoffs. I think that's where this thing kind of gets a little crooked for me, because he chose to fly him in and interview him after Matt Nagy, not before. It was the closing interview in this. And I don't believe that Teron Davenport's reporting something that he wasn't told. But the assumption I have is this came from one obvious corner of the four corners of possible sources. This wasn't from Saleh. It wasn't from ownership. We know that. It wasn't from Borgonzi. This was from the Matt Nagy corner. This was from Trace Armstrong, the agent, who also represents Mike McCarthy, who conveniently bowed out of this right before they announced the finalist list. I don't think what TD reported was inaccurate, but it was redacted and changed. And Schefter even went with it, which to me is why I assume it's Trace Armstrong or the agency who's, you know, giving a reason why their client wasn't hired. That's my take on it. I may be way off, but let me also add, I don't know, and anyone saying that they do know for sure what happened or didn't, how convenient it is that you forget that Amy Adams Strunk fired the coach in week 6 when the football guys didn't want to do it at that time. So just keep that in mind, because we who knows what went down in all this.
So do you feel, Hutton, that the perception that Amy Adams Strunk may have stepped in, do you think that it presents the case that Mike Borgonzi's credibility has been undermined, perhaps?
No. I think it's a way to frame this if you're trying to describe one side of this versus the other, meaning the story to me didn't really change. The description changed to be more about who was on board with Saleh instead of who was on board with Nagy. That was the first description, was Nagy. Then it flipped to who was behind Saleh. Diana Russini has said that she was not told that everyone was on board with Matt Nagy, but she was told everyone was on board with Saleh. So it's not just one or two people on this. It's just the way that it's framed. That's what was changed here. And I think it depends on which corner you're talking to. And it makes total sense why Trace Armstrong, who knows, maybe he was told that went down. And he told a reporter about it and told multiple, because again, Schefter went with it and also deleted the tweet.
So it sounds like it's more so about personality of the two coaches than anything, because.
Well, absolutely, Mace. Mm-hmm. It was the personality of one. I think the thing about Robert Saleh is when he is in front of a team, when he meets with the media, when fans see him for the first time, again, it will be more like the front facing. You know, you've got your CEO of the locker room right there, of the team. Mm-hmm. You know, there's not five or six guys that are spitting out messages to different positions. And again, like, I think what this is, Mace, is Saleh, I think, was able to truly map out the identity of who that team would be, the fact that you would be able to describe where you want to be and have backup options if things don't go well with a coordinator that you want, a quarterback coach that you want. And I think it's about the leadership of the entire team instead of the leadership of one player. The one player is extremely important in this. But there's another player who had a huge voice. I think it's obvious that Jeffrey Simmons played a factor in this. Not a major one, but he was heard. Again, if you haven't watched him, he was doing Busted with the Boys prior to the hire being made, and he's laying it out there that it's Saleh, and why he wants a defensive minded coach. And just the description of the vibe of the team the last 2 years compared to what he wants and how he's frustrated with that. Saleh is a great talent developer. Mm-hmm. Look what he's done in San Francisco, and then what happens whenever he leaves, and then all the injuries and just letting players play. I think that's crucial, and I think what we don't know with this is, and I just that's why I'm trying to stay even with this. I don't know if what he's going to adjust and change from what didn't go right in New York is just the perfect decision moving forward, and the staff is crucial. I want to see the staff before I make up my mind on this, because again, it's not just one coach either. I think it's the collection of all the coaches that he's bringing with him, or at least laid out there.
Now, speaking of staff, obviously they're looking for a OC. Don't know what they're going to do in title and in regards to the DC, but OC. We assume that if Daboll doesn't take the Bills job, it will be Daboll. We've tried to scour the internet for some type of connection between these two. Well, we did get one via Blatt. What was it? The guy that we had on.
Rosenblatt.
Yeah, Rosenblatt. Yeah, I'll say you. Blatt. Like okay. Paul Blatt.
Zach Rosenblatt of The Athletic.
Exactly. Connection?
Exactly. It was, what, did he invite him over for a pool, to his pool or
they
something
were the
like that?
Coach, yeah. Giants and Jets coaches. And they lived in the same area.
Invite him over to use his pool. So beyond that, we don't know if there is truly a friendship or history with these two guys. So I'm saying all that to say this. How do we know that he's not walking into the same situation that he walked into with the Jets, where you're hiring him to be your coach, but then you are picking his OC or DC. You're picking his coaching staff instead of trusting him and letting him pick who his coaching staff is going to be. That's the part I'm kind of fuzzy about.
Mace, I don't think they're dictating that with Saleh to that extent. I don't know why he would want this job if they're doing that. Like he's on his side, this was his first choice because I think he's been able to put some things together. And again, like I'm not saying this happened, but I'm also not naive enough to think that they haven't talked over the last few months. Mm-hmm. Like, come on. Like, what are we talking about here? Brady's on a yacht down with the Miami owner during free agency right before. Like, I would be trying to figure out ways to assess who's interested and who's not. And I would be talking with people. I've always thought that they've been talking with coaches that are going to be a part of the staff the entire time. Mm-hmm. So the collection of coaches that they've talked to, it varies based on experience, line of scrimmage, what they've done. But there are a lot of connections that we all made with Nagy that Saleh could also have connections with LaFleur, his brother. And, of course, with the connections that he's had with San Francisco and Shanahan. I mean, I tend to think that Borgonzi's done enough channeling here. And look, let's also say Saleh came in with a clear plan and then a backup plan. And, I mean, as quickly as things went down with McDaniel, I don't know if that's the first option that Saleh was pitching in his interview because it happened so fast.
Do you think Dable is a fit?
Willie, I think as a coordinator, if we're going to look at if I'm going to look at Saleh and say defensive coach, excellent. We saw what Daboll did with Josh Allen in the early years. You know, he wasn't known as being an accurate quarterback, and then he became one. Now that's rare, but the coach tied to him, the success he had is the reason why he got the head coaching job. I mean, I think he's enough of a fit, Willie, to where he's not going to be a coordinator for very long, if he's a coordinator. Now, you know, I don't have a problem with Saleh calling the defensive plays at all. And I think whenever you're calling, when you're doing the craft that allowed you to climb the ladder and you're that good at it, by all means, get back to doing that. And Daboll will be getting back to what he's done best, and again, I think it's developing the talent behind the scenes, and you know who he's paired with his staff and the quarterback coach. I think of the options, it's really good.
I hear a lot of this. Hey, Saleh was 20-36 with the Jets, so he can't be good. And I also hear alongside a lot of around town as the Patriots have marched into this position and are the favorite to win the AFC in Vrabel's first year. Wow, the Titans are really paying a price for letting Mike Vrabel go. So to illustrate my point, I want to ask you a question. What do you think the Titans' team record would be the last 2 years had they kept Vrabel?
I mean, they're winning more games than what we saw happen, but I mean, he's not keeping his job.
Like, I think that's an interesting question is would they have fired him along the way in one of these seasons?
They're beating the Raiders, for instance. Like, they're beating the teams that were just awful, that were frustrating to watch this team play. You know, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, they would be running the football all season instead of the second half of the season, right? Like, they would be helping their quarterback out more than that.
So you think he's worth a reasonable amount of additional success, but not enough to make them a playoff team the last couple of years? There still would have been a lot of howling.
This roster was awful. I mean, the depth of this roster, and it wasn't like Vrabel won 10 games the final year he was here. You know, like, I think it's about – it's similar to that, but they're winning more than three games a season. But it's not enough to keep his job. I think if Vrabel stuck around, he was probably fired midseason based on the way the roster was, quite frankly, with the quarterback situation that he would have had and the structure of the hierarchy of who's making the decisions. Now everything's in line here, and I think that's crucial with this. Everybody's paired up, And let's also say, like, you know, from the perception of the Titans now have aspects to point to where you feel confident that they have an advantage somewhere on game day. Saleh, as a defensive coach, I have no issue going into a game that he's playing for. I couldn't say that about anything with this team the last 2 years, quite frankly. Like, where you just look at a position and say, this is how they – I mean, you had to scramble week after week. I mean, you guys know. It was the same song, different verse every week in describing this team. That's what would have been different. But the playoffs, no. No, this team wasn't going to sniff that, given their depth and the lack of talent. They don't have enough elite players.
That's why I also conclude that I'm not sure any coach could have won with the Jets, with the teams that Saleh had, given the circumstances at quarterback. Maybe a little closer, maybe not as extreme as these last couple of Titans teams, but when Zach Wilson is your quarterback and you have a bad offensive line,
yeah.
I mean, it's hard to overcome.
Well, and then let's throw in Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers was the alpha in New York. When he got to Pittsburgh, Mike Tomlin was that dude. Mike Tomlin runs the Pittsburgh Steelers, or did. Not Aaron Rodgers. In New York, it was Aaron Rodgers who ran that. So it just from that mentality, that's what the Titans really missed, was the top dog and who everyone looks to. I think they went with the opposite of Vrabel. Now they've realized they got to get back to it, and it was Borgonzi who saw that. I mean, he sat at the podium by himself and described that at the trade deadline on what they were looking for and how they wanted to describe the next coach. They want every player, and Jeffrey Simmons is talking about this during the season, how they need more leadership and how they're pointing to, you know, after a loss, not rushing for 100 yards in the game, but praising the running back who, you know, made a play in the game. I get what he's saying. That's not the standard you want in order to have everyone follow the head coach.
Hutton, before we let you go, I want to get your thoughts on Indiana's win against Miami. But more specifically, I want Derek Mason to share his take from our show yesterday.
Oh, gosh.
Because he and Willie had a spirited debate about the uniqueness of what Indiana just accomplished. Derek, can you provide Hutton with your take so that he can react to it, please?
Can I predict this? Can I predict real quick?
Go ahead.
Mace, I'm going to say that you don't think it's worth all the hype that Indiana.
We are prisoners of the moment. Indiana, they did a great job this season. Great job.
Okay.
Cignetti, I mean, he's going to continue to win. Especially with.
This is a unique take here.
Yeah, especially with how the world of college football or sports is now, NIL transfers.
Yep.
But to me, it's not like we act as if, not all of us, but there are a large majority, we act as if, like, this is like the second coming to Disney World open or Disneyland when they first opened, or, you know, when sliced bread first hit the tables, everybody just went crazy. You know, hot bread, oh my goodness, there's nothing like it. I get
that
Indiana, I don't know what year it was either.
I'm really surprised you're doing this.
I get that Indiana won a championship and they hadn't won one ever. But I can go back to teams that hadn't won championships ever, and they finally won one. All
sliced
I'm saying
bread
is,
was first sold in 1927.
See, 1927, that was the best thing in the world.
Fun
Everybody,
fact.
Lines down
the
around
the
corner.
The last time a team won a championship for the first time in college football,
yes,
and it recently was the Florida Gators.
Was it Florida?
96.
Yeah, 96.
Yeah, it's been a while, Mace.
Okay, 96. But we didn't think back then, at least I didn't, I was still in college, that, oh, my goodness, this is the greatest thing that Florida won.
No. Sure.
All I'm saying is it's a really good story. But because of the landscape of college football and college sports now, you didn't think this wasn't going to happen? I think people walk around like, oh, this
not
was
right
never going to happen. Whereas the minute they open up the floodgates, more of this is going to start happening.
Here's the thing, though. NIL, this is the good side of NIL to me. The fact that Vandy and Indiana, Northwestern, who battles Indiana for the most losses in college, they can do this now. This was created by that. But it's not like – the difference here, Mace, is Indiana has players who transfer in and don't transfer out. every single year, it's just a merry-go-round of talent. But these dudes buy in. Like, there's a culture that immediately happened. And in this era, that does not happen. Culture is out the door. But they had it, and they had it immediately. With a 62-year-old coach who's been under the radar for, I don't know how that's possible. Let's just start there. Like, the whole chemistry with the team and how it clicked. And even year one, how far they made it with him. And he pointed that out. Cignetti pointed that out in the postgame presser. Like, the first team deserves more credit for what they did. This is only year two, and their success is why. I mean, we already saw what 30-some-odd% of SEC coaches get fired. It's why Heupel's gonna be on the hot seat next year. It's because of Kurt Cignetti in Indiana, not because of Ohio State, for instance. Like that. That's the difference in this. Is it's Indiana doing it this fast, and Vanderbilt went to a bowl game in Florida. Like, there's a huge difference in the success, even though Vanderbilt also had a Heisman Trophy finalist.
Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow has been our guest on D-Mace.
But hey, I love it, Mace. I love this.
Hey, I just want to give people the other side of it, you know?
As one texter says, sounds like a salty Spartan to me.
No, hey, Big Ten won
another
one. Sounds
like a basketball argument.
A Big Ten won another one, so hey.
Hey, no doubt, man. Hey. They're owning everything right now. You're right.
Jonathan Hutton from OutKick has been our guest on D-Mace. Ving and Donick. He joins us every Wednesday at 5 o'clock. Hutton, great stuff as always. We'll catch up next week.
Let's rally at the Capitol on Saturday and sled down the hill, shall we?
Hey, if we can make it over there.
Yes.
Yeah. We'll
try.
All right.
Later.
615-737-1025. We'll continue the conversation around the Titans. Are any of us surprised? I'm not saying anything's bad happening, but are we surprised that this has not been officially announced yet, that Robert Saleh is the head coach? Are you surprised by this?
Probably. No, I'm not, because I think once they make that announcement, I think they want his family and everybody here, and they're looking for a place and everything else, so it doesn't have to be this kind of sort of back and forth, even though they may have to do that anyway.
I mean, Jim Wyatt hasn't tweeted in 2 days.
They told him, hey, put it on ice for a minute.
And the last time he tweeted was, the Titans have completed interviews with Matt Nagy and Robert Saleh as finalists for the head coach job. Are you surprised, Willie?
I am a little surprised.
Okay.
I am a little surprised, but I'm not sitting there going, the deal's going to fall through like that, but I am surprised.
You think they're waiting?
And I don't really know why.
You think they're waiting? Do you believe they're closer to finding their OC and they want to wait so they can do it all in one swoop?
I don't know if you wait on that.
To me, that's
that.
Not a reason to do it.
I'm just throwing things out there.
It could be why. Uh-huh. I wouldn't keep that from having the Robert Saleh day. I want that to be a big thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's a day that they think is better. I hope they don't do it like Friday evening when everybody's getting exactly. ready for this whole storm thing. Like I feel like they need to, if they want to really make this a big thing, it should be soon.
615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.